Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, change is good. No, but I don't do it for change's sake. You know, I just want to hear what the Spirit's saying to do. And praise God. Hallelujah. We do want to keep the Lord in the forefront. You know, there's one thing that's over the years of teaching. Sometimes we can get over where we're teaching Bible things from the information, but we're not really glorifying the Lord in it. Like, you know, this is just in teaching information. No, we got to keep Jesus in our teaching. We got to need to understand where these and why we have these things and why they work. You know, He's the Word of God. You can't have faith without the Word of God. In other words, you can't have faith without Jesus. You can have faith in God without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to keep and people into that. You know, people talk about my faith. Well, in reality, I don't have faith. I'm not a generator of faith. Faith comes to me. I'm just a vessel of God. And if I go after His Word, I go after Him, He gives me faith. He gives it to me. Hallelujah. Comes by His Word. So I'm not anything special because it works the same for everybody. It's just the way it works. So when we go in the Word, we need to understand that God's bringing faith to us, and faith is not ever idle. See, learning things and not doing anything with them, that's not faith.
That's right.
Because that dies. That dies. It's gone. It ain't going to hold up. It won't hold up for nothing. Hallelujah. We're looking this morning, one of the things that we're moving in an area that God is preparing people. Now, people talk about, well, the return of Jesus Christ and things, but there's things that must be done for Jesus Christ to return. And one thing about a move of God comes is what I saw back in the charismatic move and coming, what was coming out of the charismatic move. You had different groups of people, and God was filling people with the Holy Ghost, and it was amazing because people would really get filled with the Holy Ghost with no knowledge at all. But God never intended that it stayed that way. You have to have knowledge of what you have. You know, it's like a person. How many people get saved and really don't have much knowledge? They don't have any knowledge of God. They get born again. Well, they have to develop in that knowledge of God. So in other words, they need to be taught. Teaching is something that we do in the church. The church teaches. People that, you know, like to do other things, you know, I've watched some churches, you know, they just like to worship all the time, and worship's good, but you can't just do worship all the time. People won't grow up. What comes out of those people is this. People who are spirit-filled, who do a lot of carnal stuff, saying it's God. The Holy Spirit, if He's a teacher, He's going to move in line with the Word. That's what He's going to do. He's a teacher. I have a teaching gift. My gift, if I yield to it, it moves in line with the Word. It doesn't, the Spirit is not first. The Word is. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, is first. The manifestations are second. Manifestations follow the Word. If we have manifestation problem, you know there's a lot of weak teaching for people. Or if people know it, they're not doing it. So you had people over that way. Then you had people over on the other side. They were pretty much legalists, you know, doing legalistic things and, you know, trying to control everybody about what they do. And we want people to live right and stuff, but people get over into the things and, you know, if I do this, then you have to do it. Or God, you know, if I do this, if I wear this kind of clothes, then you have to do this or you have to do. People get over into those kinds of things. Or if I do, and they get into ritualism and all these things and practices that are of men and not of God. People do it without any knowledge. They think that they're making God happy by the things that their practices that they do and the things that they do. And God wants us to do the word and follow it and practice it. But, you know, Jesus, we don't see Him fussing with people about stuff that people fuss with today. We don't see Him in Scripture do it. He don't do it. He wasn't around trying to make everybody dress like He did. And He wasn't running around trying to make everybody do it my way or do it this way. Or that's, He wasn't doing that. He's just leading people the Word and let God change people's lives.
That's right.
See, people have to do it for it. If they do it just because you said, it don't amount to nothing anyhow. Ain't no faith in it. Now you're their God.
Mm-hmm.
You're their God. But we don't want to go there. We're going to look today concerning, because we're talking about the tongues, and really is the door to the supernatural. We want to look at this because I'm going to start teaching an area, and we're going to sort of lay groundwork of scriptures through here, sort of build line upon line on things, because I found this out that many people who are baptized in the Holy Ghost don't really understand it, and they don't understand scripture. You need to understand. People have questions. If the majority of the church doesn't believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues is for today, well, you ain't going to convince them just because you say so. They have questions. And what happened? And they say, well, tongues of the devil. You know, we get frustrated with people. That's what they were taught. You know, what do you expect? What do you expect? That's what they were taught. Can you take them to the scriptures and teach them? See, most people can't. I go into spirit-filled churches and I listen, preach, and they take stuff, scriptures that belong to the new birth, and use it over in tongues. And they take stuff from tongues and use it to the new birth. They take it. They got a mixed up mixture. It is cause of this. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. And one thing that He is, I found out this, He's a line upon line teacher. He has to be, because I'm simple. You got to explain it to Ed. And if you think you know, He probably can't teach you. You know? I found out He's line upon line. He takes me and He takes me through things. And here's one thing of it is, when He told me years ago that reading things in their context, this is why many people don't understand the difference, because they use terminologies and cross each other, because all they've heard was somebody use a scripture here, use a scripture there, and they don't know the context of where these scriptures come from. Is it talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is it speaking about the new birth? What is it saying? You know, another thing, I found this. I ran into people, they knew the stuff that was in the Bible, but they didn't like it taught. So they didn't want to listen to it. And you know, I've had people come, and I told them, I said, if you ain't listening willing to listen to the Bible, just forget it. I can't do anything for you. Don't ask me to pray for you, because I can't pray for you to be blessed. I have to pray for you that your heart at heart gets soft and you'll listen to the Word. Yeah. Don't be so quick to pray for people. Yeah. See, many people want something without finding out, getting knowledge. What they want is, you know, I still want to think like hell and have a blessing. We can't. But we need to be able to show things to people. And it's like today, there's people that are hungry for God. Amen. And they want to go further. And even so, it's just like those two young men. It was easy to get that. I knew it was going to be easy to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. That ain't going to be hard to do. But they need knowledge. They don't have knowledge of it. They don't understand the extent of it. They need that. Why? Because when you don't know and you don't gain in knowledge, you can misuse and abuse things. Because the devil will help you do that. He'll help you use and abuse things. Hallelujah. Did you ever do something dumb and then you got a revelation and you think, my God, you know, I thought I was doing what God wanted and I wasn't doing what God wanted. You know, we're doing that lack of knowledge. It ain't we're trying to be bad or we're trying to do something, but our lack of knowledge. And when I gained knowledge, I knew what to do. You know, I was a very young Christian and that stuff. And I tell the story about when I came home and God had me throw the devil out of my house. That don't mean the devil don't try to come back in your house. You can throw the devil out of your house. You got to keep the devil out of your house.
Amen.
And you know, but out of the story, and it happened, you know, like this. I threw the devil out. You know, we're doing good. But I'm walking around, you know, see, I'm in lack of knowledge of a thing. And so Wanda had gotten very, very moody. And she, you know, every time I turned around, she was, you know, biting at me about something. And, you know, that was a dumb thing to do because, you know, she knew me before. Biting at me at something just made things worse. And I knew this. This is not Wanda. I knew it. I thought, what is going on with her? This isn't Wanda. She doesn't do that. If she gets all upset, she won't say a thing, and I'll know it. She's upset. Hold it. She'll clam up. She'll stop. And she won't say nothing, and only what she has to. And so I know. She's not one to be just, you know, out, you know, saying things all the time, you know, about something. She's not one. And I just knew something's wrong. Something's going on here. What's the matter with Wanda? This goes on day after day, you know. And after a while, it's like, I got to go home from work tonight. She's going to be mad. And she's going to be mad. And I'm sitting around. Well, my lack of knowledge, understand what's going on. But the Lord did expect me to know some things. But see, I'm not walking completely in the knowledge that I have. So I come home from work, and I get home from work, and I walk in, go into the kitchen, and she's biting. And I'm like, oh man. So I'm walking up there, I'm going to go up, get changed and stuff. I can't. So I walked over, and I was heading up the steps, and the steps went up and turned right. And I'll never forget, where the steps turned, right there, I said to the Holy Spirit, see, spiritual things that happen, to me, they're just like yesterday. I can see them just like I see you. You know what? Natural things? Heck, I don't tell you things lots of times what went on. I don't. Spiritual things? It's just like it just happened. Took place. And I remember, I just walking up there, and I said, Lord, what's wrong with Wanda? And just like that, see, I had never asked. Ask and you shall receive. This is why you live in misery. Mm-hmm. You don't ask.
Amen.
He ain't going to turn. He ain't going to baby feed you your whole life.
Amen.
He wouldn't baby feed me as a young Christian. Stand up, boy.
Amen.
And he said to me, he said, the devil's been bugging your wife and you haven't done nothing about it. Oh. He blamed it on me. Most of you have not taken the blame you need to.
Amen.
You keep throwing things on other people and you the problem.
Amen. Preach.
He said, the devil's been bugging her and you ain't done nothing about it. I ain't even born again a year. The average Christian's been going on for 20 years and never dealt with himself and this stuff. And I stopped right there on the steps. And I said, you foul spirit, you know, I know, get into action. I don't need another conversation with God. I don't need to have him call me stupid again. Most people need to hear that 15, 20 times. I've learned, no, once is usually good. See, that's what my daddy was. He said, don't, you didn't talk no more about that. No. And I just figured God's my daddy, so I just stopped right there and I said, you foul spirits hinder my wife. You stop it in the name of Jesus. I bind you and you get out of my house. See, I hadn't done that. I did that on a step, went upstairs, came back and had a different wife.
Praise the Lord.
Why? Because I finally did my job.
Amen.
See, we look on the natural with people lots of times and we're looking at natural, why events take place and things are happening. People, we're out here, even with sinners, they're being bugged by the devil and we're blaming them. It's like, I watched this thing, God dealt with me concerning Biden as president. The guilt of the church. And there are filthy mouths complaining on it. And the devil's dominating this man. And we ain't standing up and saying, get your hands off of my president. This is my house. People say, well, I don't even want my country. Well, why don't you treat it like your country? Stand up.
Amen.
Woo! My God. It's good I prayed a lot this week. I don't know how long we'll go on notes today or not, but I don't know. The Holy Ghost is talking to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's talking to me. See, we got to stand up bold. We got to stand up and say, hey, hold on. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Amen. Preach.
Let's stop it. Demonic powers have infiltrated our land, dominating and ruling and reigning. And the church has become a whiner or either joining the devil's camp, trying to make peace.
Come on.
Can't do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The devil's ugly. He never does good.
Amen.
He never does good. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's his only mission. He is never good. Anybody, whether they're a Satanist or whatever they are, they never do anything that the end result is to do something bad. Oh, they might look like they're nice right now. But it's deceive you so they can do evil.
Amen.
That's the devil's camp. I know. I lived in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is ignorant of this place.
Amen.
And see, we need to stop and say, hey, hold it. Not here. Not here.
Amen.
We need to stand up. We have the authority to do something about this nation. And it's much more than a vote.
That's right.
Amen.
We can vote people in. No, too many people, they're worshiping Trump.
Come on.
I'm sorry. I ain't worshiping Trump.
Amen.
He wouldn't stand where he is with the anointing he has if it wouldn't be for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Christians who have stood up, who are definitely the minority. But the voice of heaven listens to that minority. And the devil knows you don't mess with that minority.
Amen.
Doesn't take. You ain't going to get everybody to stand up and do the right thing. You ain't going to ever happen.
Come on.
The larger a church gets, the less you're going to have of the total that are going to get together in agreement to really deal with the devil.
Amen.
You'll always have a small group in the bunch. Hallelujah. That's good preaching.
Amen. Praise God.
But we want to look at some things. In John, we used this scripture last week about the Holy Ghost. Maybe the Lord will let me go back over here. This might be good. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 16. He said, now this is Jesus himself speaking. So to me, he's the last word on the subject. I don't need another. He said, to these disciples, this is on the night that he was betrayed, he's going to give them a revelation of what's to come. See, you need to look at that. When you look at Jesus and the things that he said that night, the disciples weren't walking in that. He's telling them what's going to happen after he's raised from the dead. They ain't got that yet. They're not born again that night. That's why. Did Peter, after he got born again, did he deny Jesus? No. Hey, I ain't even worthy to die like it. Hang me upside down. You know, this guy's totally changed. See, when you read people read the Bible like these guys were Christians. Hey, Christians, read it. Quit listening to religious teaching and people talking. Now, they're not. Now, he says to them and speaks to them and says, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. I'm going to give you another helper. The word is paraclete, also means comforter, an aid, somebody. I'm going to send somebody. Actually, the word he said, I'm going to send another. The word another means one of the same kind. In other words, there's going to be one given into the earth who is like me. I want to tell you this. Nobody who gets filled with the Spirit, nobody who gets filled with the Spirit has a full knowledge of Jesus. You got to get full of the Ghost. He said, see, this one that's going to be like, you got to know the one that's like him. Well, see, people say, well, you know, we're supposed to do the works of Jesus. We feed the poor. Well, don't you cast out devils, lay hands on? No, that's gone. Well, I'm sorry. That's another. The one like Jesus. See, they're going to get one just like the one that they have to do what the one they have. That's what they're going to get. And this is his Holy Spirit. And we want to look at it because he goes on to say here, he is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is always going to lead you into truth. What's the Bible say the truth is? John 17, my word is truth. If you want to make a relationship, over the years I have built a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I did it through the Word of God. I did it through the Word. When I look at the Word of God, I know He's the teacher. He will reveal to me. This is my, I don't matter how much anointing I have to teach, I have to yield to my instructor.
Amen.
It's just like this morning. Don't matter, I went through things, but I'm standing here, and the Lord said, well, no, we're going to do, I want you to continue to worship me this morning. I want you to stand over. Now, I want you to understand this. We do the Word. We worship God through the Word and teaching. Now, see, some people say, you know, we need signs and wonders. I'm going to tell you, an anointed teacher is a sign and a wonder.
Amen.
And especially today, they're a sign and a wonder. We're always waiting for something. You don't think these gifts that God put in the church, you think they're on a lower level than those other gifts? They're on a higher level. Their teaching will bring the gifts into manifestation. No, everybody wants the gift without the teacher. They want it without. It don't work that way. See, that's what I love, Brother Hagin. I'm glad, so glad that God gave him to me and I got to see it under his gift, because he always glorified Jesus, the Word of God. He taught us to do that. We glorify the Word. We magnify. We're following after the Word of God. The Holy Spirit. How do you know the Holy Spirit's listening to you if you don't know what the Word says, telling you to do stuff? God always leads. God wants me to do something. He always shows me the Word. You know, this morning got up and I'm standing here and he reminds me of the word about worship. He said, I want to take you to communion this morning. And you talk to them about that. I want them to worship me. That's what he wants. I want them to worship. And well, he wasn't kicking it out. He'd need to do it too. We need to worship. So that's what he wanted today. But he showed me in the word. He said, show them how simple it is to worship me. Say, well, I keep saying this and it's so repetitive. Can you imagine them angels? They ain't up there. I don't know why we're going to say this all the time. My God. They get to stand where God's at. We want to stand where God's at and we want to do it in our way. Now, he said, they do this day and night. You think God's up there saying, boy, I'm tired of hearing that. Nah, he's not. See, we get about ourselves. Get our thinking lined up with heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. You know, if we do more of that, we wouldn't have to repent so much. Oh, if you're like me, you've had to repent. Hallelujah. Well, this Spirit says the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him. How do you know him? For he dwells with you. See, they know the Spirit and the Spirit that operated through Jesus. They know that. He ain't in them. They ain't born again. He said, you're going to know this Spirit because this Spirit's been operating around you while I'm here. That Spirit is going to be in you. Now, the world can't get him. Now, can the world get salvation? See, the Holy Spirit is a gift to the church. It is not a gift to the world. It is the gift to the church. The world can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't you minister to anybody the baptism of the Holy Ghost till you know they're saved. Because they could end up with any kind of spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost is not going to go in to a dead spirit. He causes a dead spirit to become to life. That's what he does. Then the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Until that takes place, and a person doesn't have that, you don't try to minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost to them. There are people out here, back in the charismatic group, they'd lay hands, some of them, on anything and everything, not check anything out. That's why I say, teach the word, know what you're doing. You can do things that harm you and harm other people. But because of ignorance. It's like me, it's listening. Now, the voice of God didn't speak to me through a voice. I just knew standing here. I could just bear witness. We need to keep worshiping. You need to do, just bearing witness in me. That's holy, bearing witness with my spirit. It's not a voice. I don't hear, I didn't hear thunder. There wasn't any lightning or anything like that. I just knew standing here, I'm worshiping God, and somehow I'm not hooked up with what He wants to do. See, I'm over here and I want to sing, but you know what? It's hard to sing when you know you're not heading in the right direction. Do you wonder why so many Christians have a hard time worshiping God? Because they're always going the wrong direction. So I knew this. I was standing there. And I thought, everybody else seems to be having a good time. Ed needs to get over here. God's trying to talk to Ed. I just said to the Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm in the game. It don't matter. What do you want? Show me what you want. We want to do. And then in the inside, I knew, you need to have communion first. I want you to continue the worship. I want you to continue worshiping Jesus. I want you to continue in that area. I just knew it inside. That's what you need to do. See, well, what if you did miss it? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? Missed it, worshiping Jesus. My God, wouldn't that be a horror? This is why many times we don't see manifestations of things because of our fear. I say, well, make a change. See, I had a plan. See, I had all this stuff and notes and I had a plan. And I don't know about you. I like the plan. You know, it is. I mean, to not have notes in front of you is really a comforting thing. Teach it. I don't get that pleasure. I get notes in front of me. And God wants to do something else. And I had a hard time pulling over into that because it puts you over there. Man, I've got to walk with faith. Now, if God's not called you to that, don't go there because it'll mess you up. You don't go there. You go there because God was leading there. So He graces me to go there. I just had to learn to yield to that grace and get out of my mind thinking about what was easy. Now, It's a totally different thing. Now it's if I go and God wants to go a different way, we can go. It's number one, I like the anointing a whole lot. And I tell you what, I don't want to teach without it. We have enough of them. We have a lot of people that can sit down and talk. And they give good talks. Some of them give really good talks. But it's not what God's saying. It's what they're trying to do. You don't want to do that. You want to find out what God's saying to you. God's speaking to you. What He's telling you. Hallelujah. So, you know, don't expect to operate just like somebody else from the standpoint. Don't go into that. You know, I go over and I start off in these things and then God says, you know, I want you to do this. See, I get up here and I get speaking and all of a sudden I run to up to a point and then all of a sudden I see another direction. I see to say something, go over to something. It just comes. It comes to me. And you have a choice. Like, it ain't a voice from heaven speaks. I get a sense you step over there. And you know, I can tell. There's sometimes you miss it stepping over, not paying attention, and you can tell this is running against the anointing. This ain't working. I can tell it's running against, you know, move over to this side here. Move over to this. Let's go over here to this. Follow that unction I had on the inside, not the unction I typed out down here. That was my unction. Now look, it's all good. I mean, I have these teachings and I love it. But see, the world can't receive this and we need to get this. The world needs to understand. If the majority of the church doesn't know a thing about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we need to be educators. You know, I really appreciate, let me tell you about the move of God. We had the healing revivals of the 1950s and you can see it. See, it's a pattern. Here's how God works. A pattern. The next thing God sent was teachers. He didn't send the charismatic move next. He sent teachers. The teaching ministry started rising up right toward the end of the healing revivals. Why? Well, number one, God's people were in a lot of trouble. They couldn't get healed. God's healing the world because they're ignorant of this stuff, and He's blessing them to get them in, and the church is ignorant. And God expects them to walk in things, and they're not. So God sent teachers are for the church, not the world. They're for the church. So God raised up teachers. William Branham, who was a prophet of God, he wasn't a teacher. He is a prophet and powerful, powerful ministry. But he saw the teaching ministries and what God, he decided he wanted to be a teacher. And died prematurely. The devil killed him. He got out of his anointing. See, God expected this man had a powerful, powerful anointing. You don't get over and play in someplace else with a powerful anointing. If you want a powerful anointing of God, you better make a decision. You're going to walk with God. You become a target. You know, people ain't anointed much. Devil don't bug with them. It's the people got some. See, if you want strong anointing, see, I learned this. The more God reveals to me, the door of the devil wants to hassle me.
Amen. Preach.
He wants to hassle me about things.
Yeah.
You know? What? He don't want the revelation to come out. See, you're anointed to give a revelation. So you want to do that. Well, we need to give revelation. Then the charismatic movement started and people just get fallen hell, Holy Ghost. But I know this. When I came in during the charismatic renewal, there was a lot of teaching going on. And I thank God He set me under ones that were really good teachers in this area. And I learned a lot from them about this baptism of the Holy Spirit that I had gotten in my room. And I wasn't really taught on it. I can just tell you the truth. I never even heard much about it even growing up, baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. But you know, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching and he's talking about how God moves. And I know this from this standpoint. The stuff I followed with him in the Word, it worked. And I thought, this guy knows what he's talking about, but I don't know what he's talking about. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost and let's find. I'm not. If you're one of these people that sits around and, well, I wait till, you know, I get to learn everything and then I'll step into it, you'll be doing that 50 years from now if you live that long. No. See, I got a revelation in me. I knew that that was true. And so what? I'm going to grab a hold of it. And then God opened the door of the teaching to me and I sat and listened to the teaching and it's like, wow, what a blessing to learn and understand about it, what I'm walking in and what I'm doing. Hallelujah. You know, just think of the church in Corinth. Well, what Paul had to go teach them. Wow, they all got filled with the Holy Ghost under his ministry. But they're untaught. So he has to go in and teach them. about this thing. He's got to go in and show them stuff. And I'm sure of this, that their pastors weren't paying much attention to a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of Christians do this. You know, God moves and people like to play, you know. They like to get around and waller in the move of the Spirit. But if you waller in it and you don't learn nothing, you're going to end up in trouble. Because you're going to end up being followed by, you're going to follow your emotions and everything else more than you follow. You know, I'm standing up here this morning. You know, if you talk about anointing, I'm dead as a doornail. And anointing wise. You know, I was speaking up here this morning, that was all by faith. Why? I know it's true about my God, and I'm going to say it. I don't need a feeling or a feel good to do it. And you know what? It'll bring a feel good on you if you yield to it, because there's anointing with the Word of God. And I need it jacked up a bit. Too many of you are waiting for the preacher to jack you up. I'm sorry, I ain't living with you. You're going to be not jacked up a lot. You got to get it in you. And you can do it. You can do it yourself. You can jack yourself. I just start, when those feelings come on me, like that thing, I know it's not God. God ain't trying to put me under. He'd be stupid. He ain't stupid. So what do? I got to act according to the Word and not according to how I feel. Whether I feel anointed or not, I got to act toward it. Praise Amen. God. I just knew this within myself. God wants to do something and I ain't got it yet. But I knew, I don't want to go any further. We can go through the routine, but I want to go any further till He says what He wants. Well, when I finally stopped, I'm thinking, you know, in the inside, He's probably been trying to get that in me since yesterday, and I'm over here studying. That's me. You guys don't ever do those things. You're just all so spiritual. Hallelujah. Now, in Romans 8, it tells us this. So, we have this thing that there's two different types of things going on here. There is the new birth, and then there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's these two different things. There are two different events that take place at different times. Now, when we go over and read Romans 8, understand the letters written to the church are to that church. They are not to sinners. Quit trying to get the sinners to do what's written to the church. They can't without getting saved. This is religion. Religion's always... See, I was raised in religion. You know, straighten out, God will accept you. And I thought, well, God will never accept me. I tried to straighten out 490 times. That didn't work. Christians always telling me what I shouldn't be doing. I don't care what I did. I was on my way to hell. That wasn't changed because I turned around, I won't drink anymore. Well, I'll be in hell anyway. You need to understand this about the sinner. In this earth, how this thing's running, this is the only heaven they will know if they don't accept Christ. This is as far as it gets. You can go through all these things and tell them religious stuff and no, I'm sorry. They must be born again. Now, this is written to the church, and we want to define it. We have scriptures that speak to the church and to the world about people getting saved. The difference. It's for us. We need to bring people to salvation. And when they do, then we need to be able to explain to them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To get them filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to do that. Now, in Romans 8, this is written to the church. This is you and I sitting here today. Romans 8, familiar scripture. You know these things. But you know what? You know, I've eaten a steak and I eat another one and I like it.
That's right.
And I can eat these scriptures all the time. Just reminds Ed, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. What the sons of God are led by the Spirit. The world can't. The world can't be led by the Spirit. You need to be able to become a son of God to have that happen. Even before I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit was leading me. I got Kenneth Hagin's series on how to be led by the Spirit. They were tapes that time. I don't know, something like 16 or 18 of them on the tapes at that time it was done. They really condensed it down, and you don't hear a lot of wonderful things that Kenneth Hagin said that make a lot of Christians nervous. To me, I grew up under it. You know, thank God. I thank God. Well, so as many as will ever say, but the Spirit of the Lord, I listened to the first two. See, and here's another one. I can remember this took place. This time it was the inward voice. It rose up. It was like to me, something just speaking up on the inside of me. And I walked over to the stereo where I was and had a tape player in it. And I popped the first tape out. I listened to the first tape. And so I was home there in the afternoon. It was on a Saturday. So I have time. I'm going to listen. See, I have all kind of jobs to do. But I say, I need to get my life. Yep. We're trying to fix everything else and get everything else. We have all of our stuff and we neglect. No, I say, I need to know God. I had a pastor tell me I spent too much time in the Word and too much time in prayer. And his house sucked. I'm just going to put it bluntly. Mm-hmm. Had nothing but trouble there. Well, I thought, well, he said that. And the Lord spoke to me after he said that. He said, don't you listen to him.
Amen.
He said, he's speaking out of his mind and under psychology. Oh, he used to read these psychology books. I did, and I found out they don't jive with the Bible. Now, I was, you know, over there. I took the second tape. And I dropped it in there. And I remember I closed the thing. I hadn't started it. I closed it. And this voice rose up in me and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Wow. Well, that was my first goal. I'm going to learn to how to listen to the Holy Ghost. See, most Christians are trying to learn all kinds of different things. They want to know about Jesus coming back and all that. If you can't be led by the Spirit, you ain't going to know nothing about Him coming back anyhow. You know, you ain't going to ever have any confidence about anything. Led by the Spirit. See, all these people say, they study end times and they call themselves prophetic. What that? Just because you study end times, that don't make you prophetic. You're just reading what a prophet said, and he was prophetic. Most Christians are pathetic. Because they try to make themselves something that they're not. You know, it's not prophetic. It's just the Bible. It's just the Word of God. And you have to hear it by the Holy Spirit. You know, I will honestly tell you this. I never have ever studied end times on my own going to it. The Lord has always had to tell me He wanted me to do it. Because you know what? I want to know how to live in the here and now. Yeah. Most Christians can't live in the here and now and they want to know the future. Well, the future ain't a problem with that. When he gets his new suit, ain't going to be no more problems. And you know what? We can tell people about what it's going to be like here during the Antichrist reign. It ain't going to be here. It's not going to be here. So, that's not urgent, is it? I've watched people that was urgent. And we did their funeral. Because they couldn't get healed. They couldn't get things. They couldn't get... Because the stuff you like to hear... See, sometimes fun things are in the Scripture. But they become entertainment to us. And we like to look at them from an entertainment standpoint. You know? You know, it's not fun. You know, people's... Your promise box. You don't go over to promise box and pull out the one and say, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And you're... And if you hate your brother, you have eternal life in you. Did you ever notice they don't put those in there? See, that's why people like promise boxes. Because they don't tell them how dirty they are. If you live a dirty life, you ain't going to hook up with the promises.
Yeah, that's right.
That don't mean, I'm not telling you be perfect. You're going to have to learn, though, to walk in the light of the Word of God. Because that's the power in life. Amen. It is. It just, that's the way it is. There is no other way to it. It's the power in life. That's that. The Word is power. It's health to all your flesh.
Amen.
That's what it is. And so, find out the things that you need. See, I looked over into things because number one, on top of the list, I hate to be sick.
Amen.
And I've always been startled at this fact that most Christians don't hate to be sick. They put up with it. Uh-huh. They'll tolerate it. You know? They don't get mad. I get mad about it. I get downright mad. I don't like to be said. I'm a sissy when it comes to pain. But I'm bold as a lion concerning healing.
Amen.
Why? Because the pain ain't mine.
Amen.
I get people say, well, I can put up with a lot of pain. Yeah, you put up with the devil pretty much, don't you?
Yeah.
You know how to put up with the devil, don't you? You put up with him and he wins. Woo! See, led by the Spirit. See, you're a child of God and God wants to lead you. He wants people filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you can step into a place of revelation. You cannot if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You cannot. So we need to bring people to understand. Many people say, I want to go further in God. Well, I'm sorry. This is the road. This is it. And I always tell the story how it worked in me. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it changed. See, man, I was in me and I was in the Word and I had this quick... I'm studying the standpoints of healing and grabbing a hold of it and it's good to me. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, now there's another dimension. These manifestations of the Holy Ghost start in me that I didn't have before. I didn't have. In other words, there's a dimension of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't walking in. And I saw them. And at first, I didn't understand, but I thought, I got to get teaching. So I looked at Kenneth Hagin, had teaching on gifts of the Spirit. I wanted to know about those. I wanted to know about tongues and stuff and what it is. And see, people aren't taught well. The average Spirit-filled Christian doesn't understand tongues. They think speaking in tongues is the gift that's talking about over there in tongues and interpretation of tongues. No, it's not. Tongues and interpretation are a manifestation of the Holy Ghost as He wills. I can talk in tongues anytime I want. My personal tongues is about my personal life. It's about me building myself up in my whole thing. Praying out the purposes and wills of God outside of my own knowledge. Tongues interpretation are a ministry to the church. If you go over and read 1 Corinthians 14, you find that out. Tongues and interpretation are for the edification of the body. It's not to prove you're spiritual. Not everything spoken in tongues should be interpreted. See, people get into, you know, and you know, I heard major ministers say this, people I love, went home to be the Lord, but they said, you know, you ought to always pray that you interpret, because 1 Corinthians 14 says, Paul said, if you speak in tongues, pray you interpret. Now, he was a good man, and he was one of the teachers. God used him powerfully, but he told a lie. Why? He didn't keep that verse in its context. In its context, it's talking about the manifestation of the gift of tongues and interpretation in the church. Why? Because if you speak out in tongues, you shouldn't be unless there's an interpreter in the house or you can interpret.
That's right.
If you can't interpret it, right, stay silent. And there's not somebody, you know, if I go, you know, God uses me in the areas of tongues and interpretation. I can speak in tongues and God will give me, you know, what it is. Tongues interpretation. But, you know, you don't walk around. That isn't something you have and just hold in your pocket all the time and you have there and say everything you do. I pray in tongues all the time. I went and prayed for hours on end driving out to Branson. I'm praying in tongues. I say, did you interpret? No, but I'll tell you what, I got full on the inside. My God, when I stopped the first time overnight, you know, you have trouble closing your eyes. They keep wanting to pop open. The guy on the inside's doing stuff. I found this out. If I pray a lot in tongues, I always have trouble going to sleep at night. Because my inner man gets louder than the outer man.
Amen.
And the outer man says, I want to go to sleep. And the inner man says, I ain't done yet. See, getting hold of these things are powerful things, folks. Get a hold of this stuff. See, you build yourself. That inner man becomes so dominant. Hallelujah. And see, that's the quickening of the Holy, of that life that's in you. Raised Jesus from the dead, quickening your mortal body. Well, see, what's our confession? Well, I need 8 hours of sleep. Well, don't be surprised. You won't pray in tongues a long time, do it, because you won't get to sleep. you have things in your life you need answers to, folks. And you need to pray long enough till your inner man rises up and tells you what's going on. And you ain't going to get the answers till you do. This is a supernatural way to do things. It turns around and makes your inner man more sensitive than the outside. And I've learned this. My outside needs slapped down at times. You know, just.
Amen.
And what you have to do is get the inner man stronger, where his voice is louder to you. Your own spirit will speak to you and talk to you. That on the inside, you got things rolling and going on in there. And you know it. And you'll want to hook up. What's going on in me? What's happening inside of me? What is this? Then you have the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation of what you have been praying around. Now, lots of times I don't get an interpretation, but I'll get a gist of what I was praying about. It isn't interpretation. It's not to interpret it. It's letting me know the direction I've been going in the Spirit. Now, that don't happen all the time. But sometimes it does. Sometimes I'll just come, and I'll just, while I'm praying in tongues, all of a sudden I just know the direction I'm heading in, what I'm praying about. I'll just know on the inside of me. I don't have an interpretation. I just know. Hey, you're contacted in the spirit realm, your spirit. You want to know things in the spirit. You don't get it through in your mind. You don't get it through your feelings. Anywhere it comes from. There's only one place it comes from is in the inner man. He's the one connected to the spirit realm. Your mind is not. Haven't you noticed? Your flesh acts up and your mind joins in. You want to get over there with that inner man and let that inner man renew your mind to where your feelings is like this morning up here. It didn't matter what my feelings felt. It didn't matter what this. There's things that I know. God wants to do something. I need to contact it. And where it is on the inside of me. It is not. I don't look to my mind for it. My mind can come up with 10 ideas. But you know what? Once I caught it on the inside because of renewing my mind, and when the word was given, my mind went right over and said, yeah, he's telling you that. Yeah, let's go with that. This is what he wants to do. But it comes from the inside. See, most people are waiting, you know, waiting for some kind of feeling or something, you know. If we have a feeling, well, I really feel good about that. It's not a feeling. You shouldn't, when you talk about things of spirit, you should never talk about feelings. Never use that word. It's not a feeling. It's a sense. I get a sense of things. I don't get a feeling. Feeling is something that goes on my flesh, and feelings is something I had to learn to slap down and say, hey, feelings, you're not going to dominate me. You know, somebody did something against me, my feelings say, why don't you slap them back? That's your feelings. So your feelings aren't good. Because feelings can lie. They'll just downright lie to you. Your feelings will tell you you can't forgive when the inner man says, yes, you can. Your feelings will tell you all kinds of stuff. You have to learn to say, feelings, stop it. Somebody does something to us and, you know, we want to be angry and bitter about it. And then it comes up on the inside because your conscience bothers you. That's the voice of your spirit telling you, stop that. Just ignore it. Just let that alone. Yeah, but you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did. You know, my parents weren't perfect. And there's one thing is I forgave them, and the reason I forgave them when I got saved, because I wasn't near as perfect as they were. So I don't care what they did, it wasn't as bad as I did. And so I just say, they did their best, and they showed it to me, and I did worse. So who are we going to throw rocks at? I don't care how you were raised. Right now, you have a decision to make of what you're going to do. I don't care what they did. I don't care how they mistreated you, what they did, the ugly things that people did. It does. You have a choice. You can go on with God or you can follow your psychology. And stay weak. When I just learned to put the blame on it and things, well, that made it easy for me. Then I didn't have an option to go to somebody else. I removed that option. I just, you know what? I tell you, I think good of my parents what to do. I just think good of them. When I think of them, why? Because over the years, I refused to think any of the things that they did. And there was things done, but it don't matter. They put a bunch of good in me.
Amen.
They did good to me.
Amen.
You know, and then get the people on the other side. Their parents were always patting and petting them, and they haven't learned to stand up on their own.
Amen. Preach.
And they're in the church and they want everybody else to pat and pet them all the time. You know, if you love them, you're going to, you know, don't expect nothing out of them because they get hurt easily. You know, somebody said, didn't you hear somebody said, well, didn't you hear the Bible says forgive? Yeah, but you don't understand. See, if I don't understand, quit talking to me right now. You just said you came to me and you and I can't help you. Well, then go to somebody else. They know you're still carrying discussion on. They said I can't help them because I don't understand their fleshly action. They don't know I understand at all. I was doing it. I understood it. I did it. I had to repent of it.
Amen.
Don't you ever go and say somebody don't understand you. You're a liar. You're a self-absorbed, carnal Christian. I'm going to tell you, there's wonderful Christians out here that know how to fix, help people get fixed. Mm-hmm. And people walk around and say, you don't understand the trouble. They went through worse things in their life than the people they're trying to help. They went through worse. See, this Spirit-filled life is a powerful life because it changes you. And this is what it is. We want to reach the world. Jesus said you can't reach it without. Be led by the Spirit of God. Listen, for you do not... This is verse 15 of Romans 8. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by where we cry out, Abba, Father. I want you to get a hold of this. See, meditate on these things about who you are as a Christian. Number one, when fear is trying to drive you, it's not God. That's your wrong thinking and your flesh. You're afraid. Should I tell you what everybody's afraid of? I'll tell you the bottom line of afraid is death.
Preach. Yep.
I've preached this over the years. I say, if you have a fear of death, you're going to always have a hard time getting healed.
Amen.
Because you don't believe God because you believe in healing. You're trying to get out of death. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to get out of death. I don't have death working in me. I have life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You have life. You see, that fear of death, that fear of death drives people. They're afraid. Getting an elevator with ministers and their wives, stand in the elevator, and somebody says, I don't like elevators. I don't like them. They go up, down, and think, here they are, tongue-talking Christians, standing full of fear. Devil's going to kill me of this thing, and God might not be able to do anything about it. You know, when I was younger Christian, I'd pipe up, but I thought, it don't pay to talk to them. Just let them be dumb. Let those who are ignorant, the Bible says, be ignorant still. Don't be afraid. You know, the person standing in front is afraid. You can't go to people and set people free because you can't get free.
Yeah.
I'm scared of heights. I went through that thing as a sinner. I got it overcome as a sinner. I found this out. Your voice will take you where you want to go, sinner, saint.
Amen.
It has to be able to because you use your voice to get saved. And I just decided this. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I mean, I was a young kid. I would get terrified. You could get me 10 feet off the ground and it's like you had me in outer space. You just, fear would just grip me. It would grip me. And one day this happened to me because see, all my friends, we were around a wooded area. We'd play in trees and stuff and everybody playing trees. You know, I can get 3 feet off the ground. Everybody else is climbing up there. They're building, you know, little tree houses and stuff. And I'm just looking at them. My brothers never did it. And I just decided this. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm going to get over it. So you know what I did? I did something that 99% of Christians, you can't get them to do. I said, I'm going to climb up in these trees. I'm praying for God to remove this fear so I can climb the tree. If you ain't going to climb a tree, you don't need to have fear removed. Mm-hmm. You're going to have fear removed when you get in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I started. See, like Mike did it. You know, Mike went on, and it was demonic. The devil got in on him and made him afraid of flying. And he flew all his life. I mean, this guy had flown around and he got fear. Do you know how he got over it? Got on a plane. He believed God and got on the plane. He didn't wait. Well, I really feel good about this. I'll guarantee you. But he had something on the inside. And his feelings are telling me he is standing against that. No, the Bible says this. Now see, I was a kid. I just said, I want to play with all the rest of the kids. Wouldn't you, some of you, like to get in the game with the rest of the adults in Christianity?
Amen.
See, I found out how you do it. It's what you do. People make confessions and do nothing.
Preach.
They don't do anything. Well, I started climbing up in a tree. And I'll tell you what, this boy was scared. But you know what? I wouldn't say it. I didn't realize. I'm just telling you. I didn't realize what I was doing. When I got saved, that was one of the things that came to me about walking in faith. And the Lord brought that back to me. Your voice. Your voice. Your life's following your voice, not somebody else's.
Amen.
You might have picked up what they said, but it's on your voice. Don't matter what somebody else says about Ed. What matters is if I pick up that voice and I start saying what their voice said.
Amen.
You need to understand that. It's what my voice picks up. Well, I kept doing that. I kept going out. I would go out by myself and crawl up on things. Well, see, I didn't want anybody to see how scared I was, but I was going to put myself in the position. And you know what? I did it and did it till I could climb up a tree and come down. And I wasn't born again. I'm just a kid. Had more sense than 90% of the adults around me. I didn't know that. But somehow God got that across to my little spirit. I don't know how. He's God. He can do them things. And He got that across in me, and I started climbing and climbing, overcoming with my mouth.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of heights. I'm not scared of it. I'll tell you this, and this is not criticism of my dad. That spirit got into our family, and the reason it got in is through my dad. Now, he didn't realize, he didn't know, they weren't taught about what to do. But he was a farmer, and he crawled up in the silo, and he got up toward the top of the silo, he slipped and almost fell to his death. Just caught himself. And that fear took a hold of him, and he couldn't go heights after that. It's a fear of death. If I do that, I'll die. See, that spirit got a hold of him. He opened himself up to that, and spirits come and reinforce that thing. You can't do this anymore. You can't climb like you did before. You can't do that. See, I'm a knucklehead. I just say, yeah, I can't. Tell me I can't. We're getting after it right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You said you can't to the wrong guy. Go find somebody else. This is not a popularity contest. This is a God contest.
Amen.
And He's a winner.
Hallelujah.
And He's chosen you as a winner. That's what He's chosen you as. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's your daddy. Do you think He put something bad in there for you?
No.
No way. He didn't put something bad in there for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that thing turned around left. Let's get it back over here. Come back in the name of Jesus. There we go. Hallelujah. But you have been, and I want you to understand this. When we use term adoption here, we need to understand this. This is a term used about the new birth here. God didn't adopt you. You ain't His kid. And He adopted you, and you still ain't His kid. Most Christians are like that. They look at the Jews. They're God's kids. No. Adoption here is this, because the Greeks had what they called adoption. And it's when a person came and a kid was growing up. If you read, Paul said they were under a tutor or a teacher till they got to the place they could take their place. And see, we need to understand this. When you got born again, you came to the place you can take your place. You don't have, see, some people, well, see, they did that, so you're going to have to learn and do all these things and you can take your place. I'm sorry. I could take my place the day I got born again. Now I'm actually born into the family. They used to do this because they would use this adoption. That's when the child could come into the family business or whatever the family was doing and have a say. I got that when I got born again.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm in the family business. I didn't know a lot about the business, but I was in it. And God was my daddy.
Amen.
He wasn't going to be a daddy one day. He was my daddy. The day I got born again, I'm His child. The inheritance of Jesus Christ belonged to me that day. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places belonged to me that day.
Amen.
That's the born again day. That day. Paul went on to write and say there, he said, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. See, you should never be questioned. If you're born again and you listen to your spirit, You should never allow the devil to talk to you. Well, you know, you messed up. You know, maybe you ain't in, or maybe you're not a child of God. Man, Jesus comes, you won't go. I mean, I know really good teachers. I mean, there's a really good teacher, and he got over and he got this revelation that if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to go in the rapture. And in his stupidity, he'll go. In his stupidity, he'll go. See, he got a revelation. Should I tell you how he got the revelation? He got it out of Scripture, taking it out of context. If he had read it in its context, he would have known it wasn't saying that. But he chose it. You see, this is why you need to understand these letters are written to you. These are your treasures, man. These are your treasures. To the church, the letters in the New Testament, these are to you personally. These are the ones that God, our Father, decided that they would be the ones that are given to you and me. They are our treasure. You treat them like that. You treat them like they're our treasure because they're personally given to us, these letters to the church. So get yourself over in that, thinking. Stay over in that thinking about that. This is God. God loved me. This is His. These are the things His love letter. These are the ones that help me identify with who I'm in, where I'm walking, and what God's doing. When he sits in there saying, we shouldn't be doing this, and like Paul writes to the church of Corinth, tells them about the ugly things that they're doing, he said, you know, this shouldn't be you guys doing this. He said, because you know, you're Christ. Don't you guys know the Spirit of God lives in you? He didn't tell them, because you're doing these things. God moved out. He called a truck in, and they picked the furniture up and left. No, in your stupidity, God's still going to haul you off. I found out if you just believe things right, you don't stay so stupid. And I still have stupid in me, and I got to get that. Revelation drives stupid out. And revelation in these things. So it'll turn around and mature you. And we need to understand the Holy Ghost is the guy in you that matures you. He'll teach you. If you stay away from teaching, it's just like in the natural. If a kid drops out of school in fifth grade, how well do you think he's going to go in life with certain things he would need to know that are taught later on? See, we got a lot of third grade Christians. They dropped out. They came in and they got a little bit and they just run off down out of here and that stuff. And they all say, I never left Bible school. I was in Bible school before I went to a Bible school. And I was in Bible school after I left because I ain't got any other school to be in. I'm in Bible school. I found out, I read these wonderful letters Paul wrote, and I found out all these times, and I get revelation. I arrive at the place, think, I understand it. I see what he's saying now till the next time we go into it. Oh, there's more to it. There's more icing on the cake than I was eating. And don't you like icing? Now you ask Alyssa. Cake don't have to have that stupid stuff in between. Give me the icing. Hallelujah. That's what God's trying to give us, the icing. And all we do is eat dry cake. Religious cake. Oh my God, get the icing. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll love it. Hallelujah. It's so rich and so sweet. Amen. And when you get revelation, there's one thing is I know this. I cannot have the Holy Spirit show me things. I am just inevitably glorifying God because, you know, I'm serious. I walk where I walk, not because of me. He has been so gracious. He has been so good to me outside of me doing good. I've learned this. One of the reasons that God has revealed a lot of things to me, I've learned this over time, is because what I know is good, I never take credit for it. I'm not smart. I'll tell him. I have revelation that came from heaven. I didn't generate it. It was given to me by heaven. I didn't generate it. I know what I generated as a sinner. I know what I generate. This inner man, he's a clean slate, open, that God can lay his words and can turn around and program them into your spirit. Hallelujah. And put those things in there. Well, they will turn around and dominate you. Hallelujah. Now we're going to stop there today. This we're going to take an offering for you, but I want you to see this because we're going to look at some terminology used in Scripture, and if you learn how to do it right, see, I went over in Brother Hagin and his teaching, and I learned things, and learned to because of my I didn't know a whole lot about it. But he taught, and he went through the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit bear witness to me what he's teaching was right. And I could see it, and it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing to learn to know when I'm reading in Scripture, I can determine what God's really saying about some stuff. Is he talking about the new birth, or is he talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Which is he talking about? We need to know these things. If we jumble these things up, this is one of the things that the minister, I said, he believed they would have to, the people go to caught up in the rapture are going to have to be talking in tongues. Is one of the things he did. He went and started the reading of a beginning of the chapter and read down through a portion of it. If he would have read the chapter before, he would have known what that next chapter. See, this Christians do this all the time. They go over and they start teaching where the heading is. And a lot of wrong things get taught like that. No, go over there and read. And when I saw this, he wasn't speaking to the church. He wasn't speaking about the baptism of the Holy. The scripture he got it from is talking about Israel during the coming of Jesus Christ. Not for the church, but coming when Israel's there. I've had a guy tell me that one time. I said, go over here and look at this. I said, are you going through the tribulation? Well, he said, no. I said, yes, you are. What you're telling me here, you have to go through the tribulation to get there. You're going to be in that group. Well, where do you get that from? I said, well, let's go over and read. Where's that? Take them over and read it. Oh, yeah. So you be careful where you start. Hallelujah. That's why I let the Holy Ghost teach. That's why I was glad I just didn't get over into the areas where people did about the end times. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I avoided end times. I avoided. When I came into the kingdom, there was so much misinformation about the return of Jesus Christ. There were so many scriptures that were used speaking of Israel and one speaking of the church, and they had them all mixed together and had them all in things. And I knew just from general reading, they were wrong. And I said to this to the Lord one day, Lord, I ain't gonna listen to this teaching anymore. I ain't gonna listen to people teaching and stuff better. I said, it is nothing but confusion, people saying things. And I said, I'm letting this thing alone. I said, I'm going over here to this stuff, hallelujah, that I need to know. And I'll tell you, I would be leading along and studying in a certain area. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God would bring a scripture to me. And I'd go over to that where that scripture was, and then He would give me a teaching about the end times. He would show me something. See, I never, we initiate too much on our own. See, when I started, I wasn't wise about what I needed. Neither you. The Holy Ghost is the wise guy. He's the wise. He's the one that's smart. He knows what Ed needs to get fixed. He knows what you need. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you. First of all, Lord, I just want to thank you for your great patience and kindness to us. I thank you, Lord God. You're not hitting anybody with a stick today. You're trying to bring correction to us so we can see light and walk. You have much glory to be revealed. Things that we have not seen nor known. And it's not about we're going to get smart. Some in the generations past understood many things we don't understand today. They understand it. And these revelations have been hidden because man has gone off, Lord, and got his own ideas and plans and drug them into the church. But I want to thank you, Lord God. Oh, we want the Holy Ghost to be our teacher. We want this wonderful Holy Spirit that you gave us. What a great treasure. Lord, that He's inside of us to guide us and lead us into all the truth. I thank you. We can trust Him. And He's kind and He's good. Hallelujah. He'll correct us, but not to put us under. It's to take us over. Amen. He'll correct us and reveal things to us so we can walk in glory and fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you that you love me so much. Lord, that you don't let me go off to my own ways. I want to thank you. I'm so thankful because, Lord God, that can be an easy thing to do, to walk off into our own ways and our own thinking. But, Lord God, I've had that witness of the Spirit constantly, constantly nudging me and nudging me and nudging me. And I just want to thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so wonderful and good, and you're just like my Master Jesus. Just as He comforted the disciples, hallelujah, You comfort us. You strengthen us. You give us ability. And we just want to say thank You. Hallelujah. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Lord, as we're leaving here today, and we have the pleasure to do something. Have the wonderful pleasure to do something here today. And I want to thank You. And it's give, Lord God, to others that are reaching, Lord God, people that would maybe generally not even be reached if we didn't help. And I thank You that You got us in this thing. I thank You so much, Lord God. Lord, we didn't just pray for them. We helped them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We put our money where our mouth was.
Yes.
And we're helping. And this is what we're doing today. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.